Hi, happy Monday, everybody. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Hope everybody had a wonderful day. I hope you were off today, actually. Hope you didn't have to work. There's a lot going on in the world. It's Inauguration Day, MLK Day. We're going to get into some Last Resort, episode 8. We're eight episodes in. So Gina and I are going to go over. Yeah, we're going to get into that. And Darcy was not on this episode either. So, but we did get some talk of Darcy. So we know that Darcy is now coming in for one of the future episodes. I'm cold, Gina. It's 47 degrees right
47?
Now.
47? It's 34 here.
I'm freezing. This is not a Florida thing. So I'm very, very, very cold. I'm freezing. I don't know what to do. I can't go outside. It's
34, probably. And it feels like, what, 32, I think? And I'm not even in Ontario, so that's Fahrenheit, by the way, not Celsius, so I'm not even in Ontario, Montreal.
Wait, that's Fahrenheit. So wait, what is ours in, Celsius or Fahrenheit? You know, I don't know.
You're in Fahrenheit, I'm in Celsius. So basically, 3 Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit.
So wait, it's colder for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's colder for you, so your numbers are lower. Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, Riley said. Riley says it's 19 degrees. 19. See, I don't miss that at all.
But Riley, guys. I don't. Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit? I'm not sure where
he's in PA, so that's Fahrenheit, right? Yeah. It's freezing. Yeah. So okay, we're gonna get into this episode 8. So we got into some therapy with Stacy and Florian and what's their name? I forget their name.
Sophie
and Rob. Right. I forget their name. They're kind of like. Kind of boring for me, but we got into their therapy, and Stacy brought up what we've been waiting for all season. You know, how we're gonna segue Darcy into joining the cast, and apparently she said that Darcy told Florian. First of all, were you aware that Florian and Darcy are best friends? I didn't know that there was like this little clicky relationship between the two of them. I didn't really notice it on their show. Did you?
No, I thought basically it was just her brother-in-law, and she kind of just put up with him at the end of the day, right? Like,
yeah,
where the season or the series finale left off or whatnot, that's where that stood, right? Because there's no videos, there's no lives, there's nothing.
I don't see them together. Like, Stacy made it seem like they hang out, they talk, they're like best friends, and they leave her and Georgie out. So this is a new development. If it's even legit, you know, it's Darcy and Stacy. We have to take everything that they say, you know,
with a grain of salt.
Yeah, because you never know what's real and what's not with them. They're seasoned television reality stars, so you know they can make up anything and make it into a storyline and then get a season out of it. So I don't know how legit that situation is with them, but Stacy says that Darcy told Florian that he was better off single, like better off alone, basically without her sister. Which I don't really. Believe she said that. Like, I'm not really buying the story. I think Stacy and Darcy have always had each other's back from the beginning. Even when Darcy was with Jesse, Stacy still had her back. Everyone knows that Jesse was a piece of crap, but Stacy has never, like, they never turn on each other, so I don't know how legit that is, but that's how they're gonna bring Darcy on. So they're gonna do a family therapy session, which we're gonna get in one of the newer episodes. Also, in case y'all didn't know, a little extra tea for you guys today. The Last Resort tell-all is being filmed as we, well, probably not right now, but it started filming today in New York. So,
oh, interesting.
This season is getting a tell-all, and one of the cast members, as you know, is very, very pregnant. So you can't hide that. So she's been able to hide it for a while, but whenever we get this tell-all, we will be seeing Jasmine extremely pregnant. So everybody's been asking, like, where are the pictures? I want to see it. We haven't been able to produce a picture of her pregnancy. We know that she is pregnant, but starting today and tomorrow, they're going to be filming this tell-all for The Last Resort, and it's not possible for her to hide it. So we are going to see her on camera as a pregnant mom, right? We haven't seen her that way before. So, but I think that she's past the point of denying it because In Touch Weekly confirmed everything. So now that they're filming it, well, I'm pretty sure the first time we'll actually see it is on the tell-all, though.
Well, maybe someone will post pictures.
Well,
like after.
That was what I was, that's what I was hoping, because when Emily was pregnant with Scarlett, she showed up to the tell-all pregnant, and some people posted pictures of her, and that's how we found out. Because actually, when her season ended, she was pregnant with Coben. And then by the time they were filming the tell-all, she had Coben already and was pregnant with Scarlett. So then that's how we found out. I knew ahead of time, but that's how everybody found out, because they showed her, she was holding a baby carriage and she was pregnant. They're like, what's going on here? So, you know, we figured it out then that she was pregnant with her second baby. And lo and behold, they've had their third already.
Yeah.
So Emily and Kobe have been moving pretty fast. Now that I'm thinking about the timeline, as Atom was already born, so baby number three is already here. So they've been making babies pretty consistently since they got married. But they said in the beginning they wanted to have a really big family, which good for them. I'm 100%. Yeah, I'm 100% against that. I think one child is too many. So, but if it works for them, I support y'all. I love that you're having a big family. Oh, so there was this party tonight in Brandon and Julia's honeymoon suite, which they did not use for their honeymoon. Because remember, they said that they didn't have a honeymoon because of timing and funding. So instead of using this amazing honeymoon suite that they won in the paddleboard competition, they invited people over to have a party, which Brandon was a little irritated by because he's been trying to get intimate with his wife for quite a long time. And she seems disinterested. And okay, he did this striptease for her.
Oh,
and we were all subjected to his pale ass today, unfortunately. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know it was coming. I would have warned y'all. I didn't know. But I wanted to ask you, she laughed hysterically. Is that a normal reaction? Because, okay, so if I'm a guy, right, and I'm doing a striptease for a girl or my wife or whatever, I don't want her to laugh hysterically, right? I feel like that's not a good compliment for me, right?
I think she was more laughing to take away the tension away because of the fact, like, Jasmine was there too, right? So it could be like, this is out of character for him. And I also think Brandon was kind of either both A, drunk, or B, sexually frustrated at the same time. So, because this is a side of Brandon that I've never seen before, because usually he's very like reserved.
Yeah.
So this could be why she was laughing, was because of a mechanism that this is a side I've never seen before.
Yeah. So she was surprised at this side. Okay, I get that, because I was surprised too. I don't see Brandon as a shaking his ass striptease kind of guy. So yeah, this was very out of character, and he said it too. He's like, I'm super vulnerable. And then she was laughing at him, and I was like, see, I don't know how this is gonna go, because if you're vulnerable, you don't want to be laughed at. So I don't know, if I felt like the tension between them wasn't sexual tension at all, and I don't know if that's okay, given, you know, he was trying to do something to appease his wife and turn her on, and I feel like it didn't hit the mark. Right? Like, I don't feel like it worked. I get it. Jasmine was present. That made it a little weird. And, you know, Jasmine kissing Julia didn't help the situation. He's been trying to get intimacy with his wife, and then his wife rejects him and then kisses Jasmine. You know, I don't know. I think maybe, you know, in the beginning, I said that they didn't really have any issues. Maybe they do have issues. Like, maybe I misjudged them. Maybe their issues are their lack of intimacy, and they're not actually working, you know, to kind of correct those intimacy issues.
I think maybe it's because they don't show it on their social media, so they might have issues that's more internal versus like showing a front, like showing what their problems are to the world, right? So, which I can respect that, right? At the end of the day.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to air your dirty laundry. Okay, so I put a poll out there. I said, who has less of a chance of getting laid at the resort? So I said, Brandon or Jasmine? So if you were to pick, who has less of a chance of getting laid at the resort, do you think it would be Brandon or Jasmine?
Jasmine. Just because if you get Brandon and, like, Julie messed up with alcohol, they'll probably end up banging. And Jasmine, Gina's not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Even with 50 drinks in, Gina is not going to have sex with Jasmine. Like, it's almost like she has an STD, like an incurable disease, and because he kind of treats her like she has the plague, right? Whenever Jasmine is like trying, he's like, get off me. I don't want to be intimate with you at all. Okay, so Sophie made her little sand. Well, Rob made the little sand people. And he used the rhino for Sophie's mom, and then they talked about her mom and the addiction and how she's always been a negative piece in their relationship. And I do agree with that. I remember when her mom got there, her mom was very judgmental, and she was more worried about how much money he had rather than if her daughter was happy. And then they kind of touched on, you know, what it's like growing up with someone who has addiction. And then I felt a little bad because I've been kind of nasty to Sophie, you know, and I wasn't really compassionate or sympathetic to the fact that she did grow up with a mom with addiction. And, you know, her being the way that she is could very well be linked back to what she went through. So now I feel a little bad. I don't like to be mean when people open up and they're vulnerable and you see why they turned out the way they turned out. Sometimes I feel bad for some of the stuff I said. Hey, Tracy.
Hey Tracy. Yeah, I honestly think with Sophie, it's more of what she's been taught. She's been taught to run away from her problems, and that's what her mom likely did with her as well, because Sophie even said, like, my mom wasn't a mom, she was a friend, right? But you need to have both in order for your daughter or your son to come approach you and let you know their problems, but you also need to be the parent. In this case, Sophie's mom was not the parent, it was more of a best friend, and that's a relationship that's doomed for disaster from the get-go.
See,
So
I feel bad now because Sophie did raise herself, and you know, when a child is raising themselves, you know, they are going to have a lot of flaws. So now the things that I see, you know, how, like you said, she runs from her problems, she puts 100% of blame and accountability on Rob. I can understand where those issues come from. It's from raising yourself. When you're a child and you have a parent that suffers with alcohol addiction, drug addiction, whatever the addiction is, you tend to become the adult and you're kind of raising your parent. So I don't know. I feel a little bad for her because I used to think that she was just a whiny little brat. But some of those issues probably stem from raising herself when she should have been raised by parents. You know, so
exactly.
well, Shelly's like, I still don't like her. I mean, yeah, I get it, Shelly. I don't either. Like, I can't stand her attitude and the way that she is. But seeing and hearing her backstory and seeing what she went through, no child should ever raise themselves. And you shouldn't have to raise your parents either.
I think it basically kind of depicts her personality and why she acts the way she does and has some quirks about her. So, but that's my personal opinion. Like, yeah, she's bratty, she's whiny and whatnot, but at the end of the day, those traits are brought on because of her upbringing, and she didn't have much of an upbringing.
So Stacy and Florian's little picture, Stacy was the old lady. Hold on, I'm gonna show. The old lady in with the walker, right? And Florian was the little baby. And I thought it was hilarious because Stacy was like, when they have these conversations, she's 17 years older than him. So he looks at her as the old lady in the walker, and he's the young kid. It's ironic because they're not the biggest age gap that we've seen on the show. I think Annie and David or Kenny and Armando have bigger gaps, right? But I think and Florian isn't like in his 20s at all, right? I think Florian is in his 30s, almost 40. So it's not a huge, crazy gap between the two of them. But I think when you put it that way, when they showed the old lady in the walker, I spit my drink out because I was like, oh my God, when you put it in that stance, you're like, holy crap, this is why they don't see eye to eye. He sees her as like, I gotta help her, I gotta put on her Depends diaper. She's this old lady. She'll never understand my point of view because she's a different generation. And I love the way that they pointed that out because now I can see the gap. You know, have you ever tried to have a conversation with like a teenager? They speak like a different language. They have like words that they use that we don't use that mean the same
I
thing.
have to
You know,
Urban
and
Dictionary it all the time. I'm like, what are
yeah.
you talking about?
See,
Like, I thought I was young, but clearly I am not that
they
young if I can't
create,
comprehend you.
they always are creating new words. So when I saw it, I was like, oh my God. So for Florian, it's like he's a teenager and Stacy's like an adult and they're trying to have a conversation. Because I've noticed when you try to talk to a teenager, they'll say a whole sentence and then you don't understand anything that they said. They're saying something's pretty simple, but they're using words and slang and all this different stuff that we don't get. And because we already have words that mean the words that they're using, they just keep creating new words. Because I learned Riz, right? You know what I'm talking about, Riz? Yeah. And that just means, yeah, that just means you have game, right? But, and it's words that we've already created, but they're creating new versions of our words. And so I was kind of understanding of Stacey and Florian's gap in communication, because I was like, I didn't realize a 17-year difference is crazy, right? That's a whole, that's like two decades, basically, of differences.
I don't think there's any relationship issues, really, other than, yeah, he gets kind of weird sometimes, but that's just Florian for you. I think the issues lie upon the, her the family issues, like the Darcy and Stacey family issues in their bubble, because that's all they know at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think Darcy and Stacey's family is, you know how they have the Jerry Springer version of, I think Darcy and Stacey's family has a lot of rooted issues. And then when they bring new people into that, they're kind of like taking on their baggage of issues, which is difficult. And okay, so I want to talk about personal invites, because that this was a huge conversation tonight. So when Brandon and Julia won the kayak contest last week, they decided to have a party instead of using the honeymoon suite like what normal people would do. And she yells, everyone is invited to this party we're going to have in the suite tonight. Florian was like, well, I didn't get a personalized call, text, or personal verbal invite, so I wasn't invited. So how do you feel about parties and invitations? Like, because I've been invited, like I've been indirectly invited to parties. Like somebody will have a party and then somebody that I know is going to the party and then they invite me, so I'll go. So like, how does that work? Do you feel that you need to be personally invited to a party to go to a party?
No, she invited everyone. She made it clear to everyone that everyone is invited. I don't need a personal invite. Like, no one does besides Florian apparently. But then I just don't understand. Like, he gets along, he's more argumentative with the females on the show than he is with the males on the show. Because when Brandon was talking to him, he was like, oh, I see your point of view. And it looked like he was so focused on Brandon's words, it looked like he was going to take a poop. Like, he was so, like, in his, like, world, Florian world, like, just this is the way he looked. But I also think Florian was a little bit intoxicated, because only someone that would take it to that extreme.
See, I think, yeah. Okay, so Shelly said, oh, Bessie, you text me. Oh my gosh, my phone wasn't working earlier. I'm going to text you. I had some issues with my phone. Okay, yeah. But Shelly's like, I'm old school. So old school people need to be invited. So for me, if it's a catered party, like if it's a wedding where you have to say if you want chicken or fish, you have to invite me, like either by email or text. That's one thing. But like if it's an informal party, like if we're at a hotel and we're all staying at the hotel and someone's like, oh, we're drinking in my room, you don't have to text me that. You can just be like, hey, I'm in room blah blah blah, we're drinking, come drink, and I'll come drink. I think he overreacted, but you made a good point. He definitely is always fighting and arguing and finding conflict with the women at the resort. And there's always an issue with the women, and Jasmine for particular. Jasmine and Florian have kind of become arch nemesis at the resort.
Like these one-liners tonight were spot on.
I mean, it's funny because haven't we used that word to describe her before as a chihuahua? It's so funny because I feel like she's all bark and no bite. I definitely feel that way, because I remember I was talking with Shibuti on the podcast and he was like, no, I think Jasmine is a fighter. And I was like, no, I do not think Jasmine is a fighter. I don't think Jasmine would physically hit anyone. It's never going to happen. She will get all in your face, but she's definitely a chihuahua. So when he used that word, I was laughing. I was like, oh, shoot. It's like they listen to us, because that's exactly how I would describe her. I was like, she's most definitely a chihuahua. She's always starting crap. And she's kind of an instigator. Did you notice tonight she was instigating a lot of the mess? Because, you know, she's the one that started the Sophie and Natalie stuff, her and Stacey. Jasmine is becoming a fixture whenever there's mess. Hey, Jal, whenever there's mess and issues, Jasmine is right smack dab in the middle. And I'm beginning to think maybe her messiness is the counterproduction of why she can't seem to work things out with her husband. First thing, like, I mean, I know that when they filmed the show, her and Gino were not together. Like, I know that. But she wasn't pregnant at the time. because we know she's pregnant now. So there wasn't, I don't feel like it was completely over when they were filming this. It kind of seems that way with Gino. Did you notice that anytime they're supposed to be interacting, Gino doesn't want to interact with her at all? Like, I feel like for Gino, the relationship might have been over when they got there.
He knew that she was with this Matt the mechanic, right? But again, like, he doesn't want to touch her with a 10-foot pole, and I don't blame him.
It's just funny though, because from the outside looking in, you look at Jasmine and you're like, oh, he's married to her. That seems like something I would enjoy. And then when you hear their backstory and what he goes through and how she treats him, and it kind of opens your eyes to, like, everything isn't what it seems on the outside. Because on the outside, it looks like, oh, you're married to her. That seems like an accomplishment. You know, like, why wouldn't you want to be with her? And then you hear the backstory and you're like, oh, now I understand why, you know, she's such an awful human being. You know, like, you hear the backstory and you're like, geez.
But did you see that Gino took off his hat today to get into the pool?
I did. He took off his hat to get in the pool. Well, Florian told him to take it off altogether, but he had to take his shirt off. Gino has been a little more lenient with the hats. Are you a shave the back of your head person, or do you think he should keep it the way it is? Because some people are saying that he should shave this little patch back here and just go bald, and other people say he should
just to shave it off and, like, just not be Homer Simpson, or go to Turkey and get a hair transplant done.
Well, I think the only reason that he keeps the patch is because when he's wearing a hat, it gives the illusion that he has a full head of hair, right? Because that's just where the patch is, right there in the back, the only part where the hat isn't covering. But I don't understand why he's so scared to go bald. You know, there's so many people that are they just embrace it. I don't care. Like, I would rather be bald than have a bunch of hair on my head to deal with. So I don't know why he's so scared of shaving off the patch. I think that the patch makes him look older, and it makes it look worse, and it makes it more noticeable. You can't always wear a hat. There isn't an occasion where a hat is always acceptable, right? Like, there isn't, like, he's in the jacuzzi. Why is he wearing a fedora? You know, like, it's crazy.
I don't know. But I couldn't stop laughing at the lines when I think it was Jasmine that says, don't be a Gino, be a Jasmine to Brandon. I was just like, okay, that's pretty funny. The fact that,
Well, Gino, Gino also described Jasmine as a devil tonight in this episode. So I think, like I said, I think that the relationship and marriage was over when they got
already.
I don't know who's describing their wife as the devil when they're trying to work on their relationship. He's insecure and Jasmine doesn't make it better. Yeah, I think, Tiff, I think Gino started out like, she's out of my league, and he was afraid of her to begin with. So I think that she's much more dominative for him. I think that he needs a woman that's a little more sensitive and caring. And he thought he wanted a spicy Latina, but I think he bit off way too much of the sandwich and now he had to spit it out. Like, I think he thought he wanted a spicy Latina, but I don't think Gino is built for a spicy Latina. You know, you get a spicy Latina and you do.
His ex was like Brazilian or something like that too, so.
Well, maybe not as spicy as
or
Jasmine.
No, maybe, you know, not
if you're with a Latina, you say the wrong thing, she might slap you.
Okay.
Right? You gotta be careful.
She will slap you. She
right?
will slap like, you. There's you gotta not a might to that. It's a will. But I do like the bromance between Gino and Florian, to be quite honest. I don't know what it is, because they're two opposites.
I noticed the bromance, you're right. And also, where was Ari tonight? Did you notice that Ari wasn't there? But isn't it weird? She's also a cast member of this show. She's never around. She's in the club scene, she sat in the bathroom for 2 hours. And then all the other episodes, she's not there. And it's
actually care if she's not there?
I feel like everybody should be participating in the show.
No.
I want I feel like
it is not needed.
Also, Josh left the resort apparently tonight. He wasn't there. He wasn't answering Natalie's calls. He wasn't at the resort. Is it fair that people can just check in and out of the resort? Like, I feel like it's rehab, right? Like, I feel like it's a rehab. Once you get there, you can't leave until they tell you you can leave.
Well,
right? And I think
disappearance fee for that episode. So, you know, like,
well, you're right.
For the next episode.
If you're not featured in the episode, you don't get paid for that episode. They pay you based on appearance. You're right. So Ari won't receive a check for this episode. Josh won't receive a check for this episode. Anybody that you didn't see, because that's how they're, that's funny. Tiffy said Ari, AKA Eeyore. Ari, she is definitely the fun police, the fun killer. She's miserable.
She's a buzzkill.
She's a buzzkill. Buzzkillington. And, you know, I get why no one invites her to anything. It's because of that negative energy that she brings. Kind of like with Sophie. Sophie is not as downing as Ari, though. Sophie can get some drinks and have fun and socialize. Ari doesn't. I don't know if she's, like, antisocial. But you don't even really see her socializing.
Think she's just socially awkward. She doesn't know how to act in front of other people that are actually semi-normal. Well, no one's
normal in that. I mean, world, but she does not interact with anyone. And I feel like it's weird if you can't make friends. Like, say, for instance, there's a group of, like, 20 people. It's weird if you can't pick one person out of that group to be social with. Like, I think that means that you're having, like, social issues. Like, you're not able to make friends. You know, I feel like you should be able to find one person that you can find something relatable with and you can talk to.
But who's going to be relatable to her, because she's crazy, and the fact that and she acts crazy, treats people like garbage at the end of the day. Like, no one's going to respect that. No one's going to want a friendship with that Eeyore.
I don't disagree. So we have to go back to her season. Remember when she was on the season with Benny and she needed to produce a friend? The only friend that she could produce was her ex-husband or ex-boyfriend. Remember? I can't remember his name now.
Yeah.
Alejandro. Maybe it was Alejandro. But the only person that she could produce, and I was like, that's weird. She doesn't have, like, any female friends that she could bring. Because it's weird because Veya did the same thing. She couldn't produce any female friends. It was Rory. Which
but
was her
Veya
ex,
and has female friends because they were all before she left for South Africa.
Yes,
there are females there. So
yeah, you're right. I don't know.
I've never seen Ari with a female.
No, you're right. I haven't either. You're right. So do you think that she's one of those women that doesn't get along with other women? Because there's plenty of those
women that don't get along with her. I don't think
we're literally. We were literally just talking about this the other day. Remember how certain types of women, they just can't carry on a friendly relationship with other women. We were literally just talking about this. They always have to find conflict and be backstabbing towards other women. I hate that.
And drama and not supportive of each other and whatnot. So we're all about women empowerment. So.
Well, yeah, I feel like women need to help build each other up. I feel like it's already mostly a man's world, unfortunately. So women need to stick together and help each other, because men already have an unfair advantage, right? So if women are tearing each other down, it's like if men already have an unfair advantage, you're doing yourself a disservice and the women in society a disservice by not helping each other. But I don't know. What other notes do you have? This wasn't a Tom Cruise episode tonight. This wasn't a Tom Cruise episode tonight. I mean, there was some good scenes and everything, but it was not all.
Like I said, it was like those one-liners that got me like laughing my head off. Like, be a Jasmine, not a Gino. I had actually messaged you about this. So with Josh, with last week, he took off his he had an issue taking off his shirt, but he doesn't have an issue taking off his shirt for the music videos that he does.
And you did send me that.
And getting all soaked and wet. And then at the end, when they're talking about the conflict, like what Josh was saying to Brandon and to Julia and Jasmine, the end of the line with Jasmine and Julia would be like, Natalie was questioning it. They're like, you're crazy. Like, we all just said it. Like, just say it. You're crazy. They were like synced about it. I died laughing. I like spat out water because I died laughing, because they're like, they're not wrong. Well,
the end of the episode when Julia and Brandon were giving their explanation of what Josh was saying, like, oh, he wants stability and you're not stable. And she's like, well, what does that mean? And they're like, oh, that just means you're crazy. You know, like, that just means you're crazy. He doesn't want to be.
But they all said it. All the girls said it. Jasmine.
Everyone knows she's crazy. And, you know, there's good crazy and bad crazy. Because I think Jasmine said this before. She was like, I'm crazy. But there's good crazy. And then there's, like, straight jacket crazy. She's like, you're straight jacket crazy. She's like, I'm crazy. But some men like that version of crazy. She's like, no men like your version of crazy. Because you should be locked up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, your crazy is untamable. And, you know, as much as I hate to take Josh's side, Josh is a family man. He has kids and he co-parents with his ex-wife for that So I feel like the dynamic, when you have a good working dynamic, you don't want to bring chaos into that dynamic and ruin, especially because, you know, his ex-wife and Natalie probably can't get along with anyone. So bringing Natalie into that situation where they're getting along fine, he's co-parenting, he gets to see his daughter and his son all the time, they live together, whatever, bringing her into that would be chaotic and destroy everything that they've worked at to make normal. So I hate to be on his side, but again, for 3 years, you just have to be real with someone. I believe in being honest. If you don't think that there is a future with her, you should just say, hey, we can continue hooking up, but we're never going to get married. We're never going to have kids. You're never going to be a part of my life. You have to tell people that. Well, you have to tell Natalie that. Gina, you would have figured it out. But like,
heck yes.
Natalie,
heck yes.
She's never going to figure it out unless you tell her. Well, Natalie is one of those people
where
you have
to. Even if you tell her, she's still going to latch on and leech to you because it's basically her source of, he's her source of income.
Yeah,
at the end
you're
of
right.
The day. So she's holding on to that factor, like, and so she's not going to care. And then she's going to be upset that, oh, he told you straight up what it was, what the relationship was. You're still latching on. But yet when you get called out for it, being basically like a sugar baby or whatnot, then you get upset about it. Like, why are you judging other females for it? Who cares?
Well,
they're doing the same thing.
I think she's in a really good situation because for 3 years, he's been paying for her rent. He bought her a car. He's getting her everything she needs. She should just be happy with what she has. You know, like I said before, he's never going to marry you, but he's paying your rent. So why don't you just take it for what it is and be happy with that? You could have to get a job and pay your own rent. You know, in California, rent's pretty high. So if he's putting you up on a place to say he's bought you a car, it's not the nicest car, but it's a car. It works. Like, you should just take that. Jasmine, like I said, Jasmine would take that situation in a heartbeat. If somebody was putting her up in a nice place, gave her a car to drive, giving her money, whenever she texts or calls, she could get whatever she needs, Jasmine would be totally fine. She wouldn't want a ring on her finger. She wouldn't want anything more. That would be exactly what she would be looking for.
No, but at the end of the day, Natalie would have to cut the tie. If Natalie decides to cut the tie, she loses her source of income. Her source of income, her source of rent, the car insurance, food, medication, anything else, that's her source of income. That's her job. Josh is her job.
See, that's a good metaphor. She can't quit Josh because she doesn't have anything lined up. So yeah, that's a good metaphor. She's sticking with him because without him, her dream of being here and living rent-free in California would blow up in her face. So that explains the 3 years of latching on to him. But, you know, it's his fault, too, because he could easily just not pick up the phone,
well,
right?
Like you he's done easily, today.
Right, just stop picking up the phone, stop paying. But, I don't know, do you think he would feel bad? Like, do you think if he stopped paying her rent and she was homeless, he would feel bad? Do you think he's one of those guys?
I think he would. I don't think he's not deliberately a jerk. He just sometimes is and makes her act crazy. I don't, like we've said last week, but at the end of the day, I don't think he would want to see her living on the streets, homeless or whatnot. But at the end of the day, get a job.
Well, right.
Get a job, move out of California because it's too expensive, yeah. And find somewhere cheaper and get a job and pay your own way for things. But this has been a common trend with her, even with Mike. And I understood with Mike because of the fact she had just moved here. She can't work permanently. She can't work. I get that, but she can work now. I believe she has a green card now.
She does.
What's stopping her?
Well, she recently put on her OnlyFans that if you buy a video chat with her, she would donate some of the money to the Florida or the California wildfire.
Get an actual job. That's
this is
no
a step.
No offense to people that have OnlyFans, but Natalie with her OnlyFans, I don't see it being lucrative or productive. Who's gonna?
I don't know. People pay to see this stuff. I don't get it. I've never paid to see anybody's OnlyFans, but I have heard people say that they pay to see this stuff. I don't know what it is with people. In television.
I can get it too if you're more attractive. You're not crazy like a Jasmine or a Sophie. No one wants to see Rob, but you know what I mean. I can see if you're more attractive looking, but this person, like without makeup, without her hairstyle, she Looks like she belongs in a cuckoo's nest.
So you saw the photo of her at that store.
Yes, I did.
When she was wearing, with no makeup and her hair wasn't done. And she kind of looked like you said, a homeless person. That she is a little scary.
Thrashed.
She does. Is that, I don't know if y'all saw this picture. She was at like a store shopping and a fan star took a picture and she didn't have makeup on. Her hair was kind of like, it kind of looked like she slept underneath the overpass and then went directly to the store. So it is interesting that, but she did start her OnlyFans. So even for Natalie, that's a step in the right direction because I don't think she was doing that before. Like you said, it's not a job, but it's a step towards independence, right? That at least she'll have money coming from someone other than Josh. Shelly says he needs to stop supporting her. He's under no obligation and he needs to end it completely if he's not into it. Yeah, Shelly, I agree. If he's not into her, the lead on is paying her rent. She's never going to let you go and move on if you keep paying her rent because that's the one ounce of hope. Like, well, if he didn't want it to work with me, he wouldn't buy me a car and pay my rent. If you cut her off, that will be as clear as day. This is never going to be anything. But again, I think Josh wants to also further his career. He knows that he can do more shows. This will probably be the last one he can do with her, though, right? I don't see it going anywhere past this.
He wants his cake and he wants to eat it, too. So if they don't work out, God willing, so we don't see them again, then maybe Josh will be on the single life. Maybe Natalie will be on the single life. So I don't know.
I don't want that. Oh, Shelly said give her a 30-day notice. Yeah, give her a 30-day notice. No month to month, just a 30-day notice. We're like, I'm putting you on notice. You got 30 days to figure out how to pay your bills. It's on you. You got to figure that out. All right, so we're going to wrap today. So we'll be back next Sunday. We'll be back Sunday for Before the 90 Days, part 3 of the tell-all. Apparently, the Vanja scene where we find out that Yoshiko was videotaping her behind her back, that's going to be covered in part 3. And I'm sure if Adnan allows it, Adnan is just basically cutting everybody off and talking.
I don't know if I believe that. Like, how do you not see a camera? Like, I don't know.
No.
If I believe that.
You have to remember, though, they make cameras that look like outlets.
Yes.
Or they're in like smoke detectors.
I get it, but I don't know. I'm kind of like on the fence about it. Like, what exactly was the artifact that was going? If it was just a phone or a video camera, then girl.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's very possible for you to trick people because they make these weird secretive cameras now. But like you said, if he just set up an iPhone across from the bed, it would be hard to miss that. But they have, because you know, when people, I've heard these horror stories a lot. You go to an Airbnb and they're like these little outlet
pinhole
cameras. Literally no way you would ever know. It's like the size of a pinhole. So like, it is very possible that he is a sneaky little creep and he hid something that she didn't see. And you know,
I know, but I just need more backstory. And then I can be like, okay.
I mean,
like, but if it was like a video camera or a cell phone, then it'd be like, girl.
And another thing, how did she find out? Because she said that it happened without her knowledge. How did she find out after the fact? Did he send her the video? Did he post it online? You know, there's more info to that. So we'll get into that in part 3.
And we haven't, no one's ever seen it. So then he had to send it to her. It's not on Reddit. It's not anywhere else.
Yeah, if it was posted on a site, somebody would have gotten a hold of it and sent it out. So I'm assuming that it got deleted. I'm assuming. Because what he did was illegal. So I'm sure it would, her info to him would be like, delete it or I'm going to call the cops. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, it's illegal in Croatia and it's illegal in the U.S. to video someone without their knowledge. So I'm pretty sure she had, I had to have told him, if you don't delete it, I'm going to call the cops. Because that's what anywhere, I would have done that. Like, if you have it,
but then
and you're not going to delete
it. If it's on Reddit, if it's on anywhere, people are going to make receipts out of it. People are going to have screenshots. People are going to have receipts out of it.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yes. And Bojo is going to come back, too, because I'm pretty sure they told him if he left early during the tell-all, he wasn't going to get paid. So he's going to come back, too. So we get to see them question him a little more, which I didn't mind. I want him to just admit that he has a girlfriend so we can move on.
Yes. Because
we know that that's what it is. Just admit it so we can move on. We don't really want to talk to you. We just want you to admit that you played her.
Exactly.
You know, just say what you did. You know, it's simple. All right, so make sure you're following Gina. I'm tagging her in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Masi Show. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you guys really soon. Bye.
Bye.